96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation.
The
good evening and welcome to The Essentials, The Reset. I am your host, Hubert Edwards. And this evening, we are going to have ourselves, as usual, a wonderful conversation. We are going to be talking to some persons from the Jamaican Diaspora Association, the Hummingbirds. And then we are going to get into a bit of a chit-chat. I have, today is the last day, obviously, of our show before Christmas. And I have a few presents I would like to give to persons. So if you hang around, stick around, call in. I have a couple of books that I would like to share with one or two individuals. Not a lot, or just about four of them. But you know, definitely you'll have to join in order to participate. This evening, we see in the news, Guardian newspaper published holiday spike, sharp increase. We heard about 140 cases, which was heard today. Stricter COVID measures not expected, said Jasper Ward this morning. But subsequently, there have been some measures of, especially as it relates to traveling. So we will see where we get from there on the business side. In the business news, we see that Cruise Port successful in raising $25 million via equity offering. So that Mike Mara, Anthony Ferguson from CFAL, so they have done pretty well on that. It was expected that I was going to be well-subscribed. Businesses urged to have systems ready for VAT switch to 10%. So businesses are working on that. Abaco and Grand Bahama SERZs extended to end of 2022, that special economic recovery zone. So there's a lot happening, and you know, it's time for Christmas. It's time for persons to get ready to enjoy themselves. It's time for persons to sit back and think back and reflect and see exactly where we are. The 31st Bahamas Business Outlook scheduled for January 13. That is always something that we look forward to with Joan Albrey and her team over there. And so, you know, 2022 is going to be an interesting one. I'm just leafing through the papers to see if there's anything else of great interest here. Nothing much there. So we move on. So we will talk to our guests in a short while. I think we have two hanging on to talk about some good news and how they have been contributing to the well-being of the country. It's always good to see associations, especially those within the wider Caribbean diaspora, stepping up to the plate as this organization always does and contribute significantly to the country. And so without waiting much further, we are going to ask who is on the line. I think we have Ms. Sharon Purser Cooper. And is there anybody else with her, Mr. Producer? And I think the president ought to be on. Welcome to The Essentials.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, certainly a pleasure
to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, Miss Cooper, and we also have...
We have the House, Mr. George Hay, who is our president. We have Mrs. Tamika Walker, our secretary. Mm-hmm. And we have Bishop Errol McLaughlin, who is one of our honorable members and is in charge of a very interesting project that I'm sure you would like to hear about later on.
Okay, so we have a full house. So let's start where we're supposed to start. I welcome everyone to the program. It's Christmas. Season greetings to everyone and those listening out there in the Jamaican community here in the Bahamas and the wider diaspora via Facebook or via other social media platform. Recently, the Hummingbirds made a presentation to one of the local hospitals. Why don't you tell us about that? Tell us a little bit about Hummingbirds and their work and, you know, explain to us why do you do this?
Well, Mr. Edwards, first of all, we want to thank you. As public relations officer, I just want to say a big thank you to you for having us on your show. And also to say joining us also is Mr. Patrick Hanlon, our acting honorary counsel. And we are also joined by our assistant secretary, Miss Dillion. And we are very delighted to be here. So yes, last week, Friday, we had the pleasure, or it was a Friday before, we had the pleasure of making a donation to the Princess Margaret Hospital of medical equipment that we thought that was well needed at this time. We, as you know, are in the business of community service, and we thought it fitting to reach out, particularly during these times of COVID, COVID-19 pandemic, to reach out to our local hospital serving the people. And we thought it fitting to reach out to them to assist with the provision of some medical equipment that we thought was needed. They sent to us the list of things that they that were needed, and we made a selection based on our capacity to respond to them. Because as you know, we are a charity organization. We are unfunded. We are a registered nonprofit organization. And so we ministered to them within the capacity of our ministry.
That's a nice way of saying you don't have a lot of money, and some persons out there who are listening and who have the greater capacity and the ability to do. There's always organizations out there doing wonderful, wonderful things. The Hummingbirds Association has been around for many, many years, since 1978, and has done a wonderful job right here in the Bahamas representing Jamaicans, the individuals representing themselves, but also contributing to the growth and the development of the country, contributing to social endeavors, contributing in charitable ways. And so you gave a number of equipment. Before I get to your president, just wanted to get a feel for what type of equipment you shared with the hospital.
Yes, well, we selected items that were a part of their emergency operation. And of course, you know, we donated, wheelchairs are always very needed. And so we donated two wheelchairs, an 18-inch and a 20-inch. We also donated things that we thought would be needed, particularly in their efforts to deal with COVID. And so we donated two nebulizers with compressors to assist with breathing. We donated four oximeters for them in their emergency care to, you know, check the pulse and vitals of patients. And also we donated an gooseneck examination lamps, you know, the lamps used to that the doctors can angle when examining, as well as glucometers for checking of the, you know, the blood sugar. Yes. So
and I saw you give some flat screen TVs also, televisions.
Yes. That is to be presented to them this week.
Okay.
Because during the presentation, in an interview with the CMO, Dr. Burnett, she mentioned that items that were not quote unquote medical, but also assisted in the care and comfort of the patients was the need for televisions. Mm-hmm. And so since then, one of our members, I think she's going to join us soon, Mrs. Meadows, said, oh, I will get two flat screen TVs. So that will be forthcoming this very, very week to them. And they're delighted to have them.
Okay. Mr. President, Mr. George A., how are you doing, sir?
Good night. I'm great.
Certainly a pleasure to have you here on The Essentials. Tell us a little bit about the Hummingbirds, you know, like every other organization we've been going through and dealing with the ravages of COVID, you know, social distancing. But certainly in making this presentation, you continue a tradition of giving back and supporting, you know, valuable or important initiatives. Tell us a little bit about that and a little bit about the organization itself. Where are you now? What are some of the plans for the future going into 2022?
Well, good night again. It is a pleasure for me to be here. As we know, the Hummingbird Association has been around for a while. And before my time, it has been doing a tremendous job in assisting the community in terms of medical or educational, whether here or outside of the Bahamas. But as of lately, we started fit where we should, you know, dwell a little bit during this COVID situation here with the local medical institution that most of the individuals here in the Bahamas would find themselves going to, including Jamaica. So we started fit to make a donation during this time. So as we move along, we intend to keep up the tradition of former members who have over the years made this association what it is. And of course, without those members setting the foundation, then we would not have what to really build on at this time to, you know, continue the work. So as we move into 2022, we intend to step up on our game in terms of assisting more people. Mm-hmm. We know that there has been a great deficiency in terms of students who are going to school, especially in this virtual situation. We are going to try to see how much we can assist in providing necessary equipment for them to access classes when they are online. So all this and more in terms of the medical situation, in terms of scholarships, we are going to try our best to see what we can do. We know that the constraints are there in terms of raising funds, especially where we cannot meet as an organization and plan activities that will give us a great deal of funds to carry out the activities that we want to carry out. But we are depending on the assistance of the wider Bahamas and the international organizations that, you know, are there and from time to time will assist us in carrying out our mandate. So we have quite a few things in mind, but as we are at the moment, we are just taking it baby step at the time until we can get some funds where we can carry out our work as we should do.
Okay, that's powerful. And, you know, we look forward to that tradition continued and, you know, as like you said, to improve upon it and to grow and, you know, provide means and opportunities for persons locally and abroad to contribute to the local scene and also contribute outside the borders of the Bahamas. We have the Acting Honorary Counsel. And so I want to go to him next as one of the foundation members of this organization started in 1978. As life would have it, has had to have something to do with sports. We won't get too much into that tonight. We just want to, first of all, acknowledge the work of Mr. Patrick Anlin and the work that he has done in the Bahamas, supporting and serving the people of Jamaica and supporting the persons within the Bahamas or other nationalities. And, you know, I'll let him talk a little bit more about that. Mr. Anlin, welcome to The Essentials.
Thank you. Thank you for your welcoming remarks. And good evening, everyone. And it's a pleasure to join this meeting and to support the efforts of the Hummingbird. Mm-hmm. You asked a question. And, of course, many of us now know that I was one of the founding members. And seeing that we do not have much time, I'll just go back to how and why it started, because we went going back to 1978. As I've said before, prior to 78, we were trying to put an association together. But what really pushed it forward is the closure of the Jamaican High Commission in the Bahamas in 1977. And then in 1978, I think the Bahamas was hosting the Charifta Games. And we saw fit to get together and help and assist the athletes that were coming here. And after that, it was, then we move on. Mm-hmm. There was the Hummingbird, and ever since we get involved in sports, get involved in charity here and in Jamaica. And of course, the main topic this evening is a presentation to the Princess Margaret Hospital of medical equipment, but just want to say that this diaspora of Jamaicans have helped in disasters in the Bahamas and Jamaica, as well as in the medical field. In Jamaica, we have provided several hospitals with medical supplies and very essential medical supplies, and here in the Bahamas. So just to say that since 1978, we have done quite a bit, and the support to anyone serving in an office like mine by the Hummingbirds Association is really necessary. And we are just living up to our pledge.
Yeah, and I think that is important. Not many organizations last that long, 1978 to today. So certainly there has to be some important things happening which have kept the traction going and kept people glued to the task at hand. But while I'm sure you wish to duck it, this is actually my show, and you will not come on my show and escape that easily. You have been serving as the honorary counsel now for maybe almost two generations. and you have given yeoman service to and to the Bahamian public. Talk to us a little bit about that, as an elderly statesman at this point in time.
You're asking me to blow my whistle. Well, it is a pleasure. Well, it was a privilege and an honor to serve my country as honorary consul since 1978. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, after the closure of the mission here, the High Commission, the government of Jamaica wanted to fill that gap, and they asked me to be the honorary consul, and I serve until 2019, which is, and then what we should say, something happened after 2 years, and we have a departure of the, and they have asked me once again to serve until they can have a more permanent replacement, because 41 years is a little over a generation. And I think
two generations. You're into two generations now.
Thank you, sir.
So, yeah, but you know, certainly it's the time alone is exemplary. The effort we know is significant. And so we, you know, certainly want to take this moment to publicly thank you for your contribution and your, not just contribution, but your ongoing contribution. When persons have done well serving two countries, in this instance, I think we must always pause and we must always give the roses while the roses. So we want to say to you, Mr. Anlan, from us here on The Essentials, you know, the show which carries the Jamaican accent, you know, well done, and thank you for your human service. Just want to shift now to some of the other persons on the chat. I'm not sure I've totally lost track of who is there. I understand Bishop is with us, and Bishop is marshalling a very important project. Tell us about that, Bishop McLaughlin.
Good night, sir.
Good night. How are you?
Good night, all. Good night, Bahamas. Good night, whoever is listening. Well, I wouldn't say I'm marshalling anything. President Hummingbird decided to venture into his contribution to the inmates at the now, well, they used to call it HMP, Her Majesty's Prison. Well, in their outreach, there's a little difficulty, so I just stepped in and assisted with making, well, I was the messenger who just brought the contribution up to 15 inmates who might not have been getting the support from their families. Mm-hmm. And each person got a few dollars. In all, $450 was donated to the inmates to brighten their Christmas as part of the practice that the Hummingbirds did in the past. Mm-hmm. So I'm privileged to have been the Lord's servant who was available to assist. Right. Since there might have been a shortage of other persons or younger blood. But I give thanks that I have been able to assist the Hummingbird over the years in the background. And I thank God for the opportunity to do my part. And I'm also grateful to have been a teacher, missed him in other schools here in the past years. So we as Jamaicans, we have been making our contributions here as well as home. God bless you, and thank you for having us on your program, sir.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for doing what you do. Who else? We have Ms. Cooper. You'll have to marshal the persons for us. We have a couple minutes more. Yes. So let me know who else we're getting going on with.
Okay, yes, sir. Bishop is very, very modest. Not only has he been doing that recent project, but over the years, he has been instrumental in helping to supply drinking water to many of the inmates at Her Majesty's Prison. It's now renamed, I'm not sure what the name
is. Bahamas Correctional Center.
Over many years, Bishop has been behind that, and not just assisting with getting water to them, but also he abreast of some of the needs that many of the inmates have had, and has been a person who has liaised and networked with trying to, you know, along with Mr. Hanlon, who in his capacity as Honorary Counsel, has also served in assisting with some of the needs to inmates, particularly from the Jamaican community at the prison. So we want to say a big thank you to him. And also to say, I don't want this to be this opportunity of inviting the community to visit the Hummingbirds website, which is hummingbirdsassociation.com, and to view the many things about the Hummingbirds is there, and a history of some of the things that we have been doing, as Mr. Hanlon mentioned, our work with the children's homes, Ranferny Children's Homes, Children Home, the Children's Emergency Hostel, and also just to share a little secret with the community, I want also to say a big thank you to you, sir, for your tenure as former president of the organization and your instrumentality in making donations to the Elizabeth Estate Children's Home, and also in your work with the youth, being also instrumental in launching our scholarship fund, which assists students going into tertiary institutions who are unable to get scholarships else. A scholarship fund has been set up, as I mentioned, part of your instrumentality there as well, to assist them with grants and small scholarships, to assist them with their fees. And so the Hummingbird has been very, very busy. Back to the healthcare initiative, we've partnered with the Princess Margaret Hospital before in the procurement of their kidney one of their kidney dialysis machines years ago. We've been also assisting the Cancer Society, making donations to them. And for years, have worked also, not particularly with healthcare, but with the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And so we've been making efforts over the 40 years to reach out to the community. And we have here with us persons from the Mrs. Walker, who is an educator.
Yeah, let's hear from some of these other persons.
Walker and Miss Dillion, okay. And also the great Miss Sandra Meadows, who is a missionary, mm-hmm. From the Seventh-day Adventist community.
Oh, no.
So I'll turn over to them.
Okay, who is coming up, Miss Walker? How are you? Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
Yes.
Good evening, Bahamas. It's a pleasure to be on your program tonight, The Essentials. I want to join with my colleagues and to say thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I am a young blood in the Hummingbird Association, but since I have become an active member, I must say that the Hummingbirds Association has been doing a lot to help in the community. I remember in 2019, after the dreadful Hurricane Dorian, under the guidance of Mr. Hanlon, we had a shelter set up on Shirley Street, and we were able to assist persons who would have lost everything coming over from Abaco. And during the COVID period, as an association, we also gave out vouchers, super value vouchers, to help persons in the community who found themselves in difficulties. For me, as a young person, this is what the Lord desires of us, to be our brother's keeper. And that is what the Hummingbird is about, to reach out in the society and the community to help others. So thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity so we could shed light on what we're doing as an organization.
Okay, Ms. Dillon. Is Ms. Dillon there?
I think we have lost connection. We have lost connection with her.
Yeah, we'll move to Ms. Meadows. Ms. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Very good. I'm here at work. I'm listening.
You're here at work and listening. Talk to us a little bit about your Hummingbird's experience, as a Jamaican immigrant here in the Bahamas. You have been around for a while. I know I met you in the earlier days. I've always been a tower of strength and a source of inspiration, always positive, even when there's nothing to be positive about in some ways. But, talk to us about that experience and, your continued ministry and contribution to the local society.
Oh, man, I tell you, I've learned so much just coming out to the meetings way back there in the 80s and the 90s. Down at Holy Cross Church, under so many different presidents, learning what our rights are and learning how to have a voice and then go out and teach my fellow Jamaicans that you do have a voice, Bahamas, that speak speaks with you and for you. Join us. And so I've been one to always be a hummingbird and the council everywhere I go, because I know that it represents us as a people here. I remember those days getting up 5 a.m. in the morning to go down to original Patty and Independence, or any holiday we have, to go and cook for the cookout, get a team out there and get stuff ready and get the food out on time. And there were so many persons who were there helping at that time. And so I thank God for that privilege. And then I become a voice that, even though I'm not attached with the organization, I would direct them to the organization. And so that's what I do everywhere I go. And, you know, just being kind and just saying, you know, while you're in another man's land, your presence must be seen and heard and known of in the positive. I do not go on negative vibes. I really gleam a lot from positive people, positive Jamaicans, positive Bahamians. And we just form a league that represent our country wherever we go.
Yeah, and that is so important. I think Mr. Anlin always says and admonish persons, you know, if you're lazy here, you're going to be lazy back in Jamaica. So, you know, you have to practice how you plan on living. We are kind of clean out of time, but we'll take a couple of more minutes just to hear again from Mr. Hanlon your closing remarks. I guess you want to say maybe a little bit of a greeting to the Jamaican community and the wider Bahamian community. Mr. Hanlon?
Yes. Thank you once again. Host, and I would just like, on behalf of the government of Jamaica, to extend Christmas greetings to all the Jamaicans in the Bahamas, in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, from in our Grand Bahama, as well as Bahamians, because we have always used the saying to say that the Bahamas and Jamaica are inseparable twins, Siamese twins, and this is it. We have built a relationship over the years that cannot be separated or broken. And I thank God for what he has done over the years for us being here to contribute to, in way we have, to the building of this Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And blessings to all, and may we enjoy the holidays and have a wonderful and prosperous 2022.
Thank you so much. Your final words, Ms. Cooper?
Yes, happy Christmas to the entire Bahamas overseas, and we again invite you to visit the Hummingbirds Association .com website, where you can give and donate to our great efforts by just clicking. All of our information is there on the donate page. Just click donate and you can go there, and our bank account number is there, so you can do your online banking and send to our account. You can also do a wire transfer from wherever in the world that you are. You can also pop into our any RBC branch and make a donation to our account. And soon you can just at a click use your debit or credit card and donate much needed funds to the Hummingbirds. We are as strong as our purse, as well as our spirit. And so, sir, thank you so much for having
me. Yeah, you like to beg sideways.
You know, we are running out of time, but it would be remiss if I don't commend Mr. Edwards for what he is doing over the years, especially in recent times, to educate and sensitize us in nation building or quality nation building.
I'm just keeping an eye on you and doing what you've done, sir. So, nothing new here. And so I'll give the final word to Mr. President, Mr. George A.U., the president of the association current. And, you know, you have the task of keeping the tradition going and keeping the troops marching in a particular direction. You have the final word.
Again, Mr. Edwards, for having us here tonight so that we can highlight some of the things that we have been doing over the years as an organization. We definitely are inviting others to come in and join. Help us help others. Let us be our brother's keeper. Help us to make this organization move from strength to strength, and so that we can assist more people, because we are here because you are here, and our effort is as good as the assistance that we get. So once again, I say thank you, and I say Merry Christmas to Jamaicans and Bahamians alike here, and hope that we will have a peaceful and happy Christmas, and of course, don't forget this season. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Hummingbirds Association, for your contribution, your ongoing work. We look forward to 2022 and beyond, when the work gets even more significant, even deeper. And of course, as they've been suggesting, well, Ms. Cooper has been suggesting right across the board, they need your help in some ways. If you're out there, especially in the Jamaican community, you know, every little bit matters. You know, they say, you know, every little mickle make a muckle in Jamaica. It doesn't matter how small it is. You want to contribute. You want to find a way. You want to find an organization which can, through your contribution, make it that much larger, make it that much more tangible, and find, you know, get yourself involved. It's not sufficient to stand on the sidelines. It's not sufficient to become one of the critics. It's not sufficient to be in a position where you simply take. You have to live a life of balance, and it is important that you also find yourself in the lane which gives and help others to become that much better. And so when all the persons from the executive and the members who join us here, we're going to take a break here. You've been listening to The Essentials, The Reset. And when we come back, we're going to get into our regular chit-chat discussion. And if you want to win one of the four books that I have with me this evening, you definitely will have to call in. I will definitely arrange for you to have an autographed copy, but you have to join us. Come right back. Don't move.
You must have Balu's pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South, call or Wix 8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
So serious, time for the essentials.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We just had a conversation with members of the Hummingbirds Association as they highlighted the things that they have been doing over a number of years, but more specifically highlighted the recent contribution that they would have made to the hospital, I think this Princess Margaret Hospital, of a number of medical equipment. I just want to recap very quickly. 2 wheelchairs, 2 oximeter, 2 glaucometers, 2 nebulizers with compressor, gooseneck examination lamp, and to be delivered, 2 flat screen televisions. I think that's a job well done, and we want to see more of this effort. There was mention of a scholarship, and certainly, you know, education is so, so important for persons here in the Bahamas, persons in the diaspora. And it's really, really good to see that that has been continued. And, you know, we have to continue to find ways of facilitating more students, facilitating more individuals. There are many, many individuals out there who have the book smarts. They're just, you know, brilliant persons. And if given the opportunity, they would go very far. But they just simply do not have the funding. They simply do not have the same sort of opportunities that some persons take for granted. And at the end of the day, it is for us as a community to step forward and figure out how we can make that better. Because, you know, there's never, ever a self-made man. No matter how you hear persons talking about, I'm a self-made millionaire. Somewhere along the line, someone helped you. Somewhere along the line, someone helped you in some way. And so now is your opportunity. It's your time to pay back and pay forward. Because the work that you do today, the work that you invest in the youths especially, is going to pay a dividend for the society in the future. And you may very well be the recipient. Some of you are young enough that the person you send to come back and become your lawyer or some other professional who will serve you. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, Christmas stuff and uplifting things. So what are you going to do for Christmas? Today is, I've been hearing all day on radio, it's Christmas, it's the eve of Christmas Eve. And so where are you? Where are you right now? 2021 is coming to an end. And I don't know how 2021 has treated you, 2020 has treated you, 2019 has treated you, but in many instances and in many cases out there, I know it has been rough for many persons. I could put my hands up. I know that these 3 last year have been, you know, rough. You know, I could tell you, I could share very, very, very interesting stories, but I won't do that because, you know, at the end of the day, life is what it is. And we should not be such that we are only predisposed to the good times. We have to understand and accept that the bad times are there to help us to grow, to develop, and to set us up for the better times. After all, if there were no bad times, how would you know exactly how good the good times are? And so, you know, as we talk about this and that from here on in to the end of the show, you know, let's put on our positive cap. Let's put on our positive attitude. Let's cloak ourselves in this realm, this idea that it is possible. And even when it looks impossible, we are going to continue to remind ourselves that it is possible. And tomorrow is always going to be a better day. Next year is going to be a better year. Next, a better week. The next relationship is going to be better. The next job is going to be the job you've been searching for. The next adventure, the next entrepreneurial exercise is going to be the one which hits it out of the park. If we do not walk around, if we do not move through life with that type of an attitude of I can do, will do, must do, will die trying, regardless of what the circumstances are out there, believe me, you're going to get kicked down by life and life is going to hold you down and you will die 1,000 deaths. Unfortunately, you won't die immediately. You will just be suffering. But you don't have to, you know. Yes, you may not have enough money or all the money you need. You may not have all of the fancy clothes, the fancy house, the fancy shoes. You may not have that, but you don't have to suffer. Because even in your moments of need, even when the resources are not sufficient, you can smile. You can walk tall. You can walk with your back straight. You can walk with your head held high. You can be proud of that one thing that you're capable of doing. And this is what I've found to be an important formula. It works for me. When things are not going well, when things are not going as you would like them to be, when you're not progressing, when you're not succeeding, when you're not achieving, when everything look kind of a little bit, you know, sour for you, find somebody to help. Find one person at least that you can help to be better, that you can facilitate. Many times we believe that we have nothing to give because when we look in our hands, there is nothing there. But sometimes, there don't have to be anything. You can, because of your relationship, call somebody who then calls somebody, who then calls somebody, and that person may be helped. You did it. You participated. You contributed. Even though in your hands, there is nothing. The fact of the matter is, we never, ever, ever, ever will find ourselves in a state where we have absolutely nothing. It may be down and out, and it may be very, very depressing. We may be in a very debilitating circumstances, and we are so consumed by our own problems that we do not see the resources that we have within, because there's always that little bit. If you can call on someone, and if someone is willing to respond to you, there is value in that relationship. So when we talk about attitude, there's this little song out there which says, "The attitude of doing right accentuate the positives, eliminate the negatives, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between." That's a real song, Mr. Producer. See if you can find it. I don't know what the name is. But it says, "The attitude of doing right accentuate the positives, eliminate the negatives, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between." Because in between the positives and the negatives is a no man land. You don't really want to be there. You want to be in a place where you feel fulfilled. And I'm not saying that this is you in La La Land or Nirvana or in heaven or wherever people go when they die based on the religion that they support. I'm not constantly in a state of bliss and perfection. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that you make an intentional decision, a determination that you are going to eliminate the negatives. You're going to accentuate the positive. So if there is 900 million and one negative, you're going to kind of turn an eye to that. Against that. And if there's only one single positive in that big, large number, you're going to work to accentuate it. So you lost your job. Well, it's an opportunity for you to explore your entrepreneurial skills. You lost your spouse. Well, maybe you weren't such a good spouse, and it's an opportunity for you to practice to be a better one. You're having a bad day. Well, why not find someone who you can make their day better? Maybe start with a smile, a kind word, encouragement, an affirmation, maybe something. How about that? So accentuate the positives, move away from the negative, latch on to the affirmative. So anything which is positive, affirmative, something which can move you forward, that's what you can latch on to. And don't be, you know, so-so-so-so. Don't be poco-poco. Don't be meandering in between, you know, here and there. Oh, yes, I feel good now. No, I don't feel good. No, no. That's a place where nothing productive takes place. So if you want to jump in on this, it's 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. Our text line is 422-4796, as you can hear. We're not talking about anything too significant. other than walk into 2022 with an attitude that we have the power within to cause our world to be exactly what we want it to be. To feel better, to live in a moment where you are comfortable with self, comfortable accepting the circumstances as they are, not as you wish them to be, but as they are, and then recognizing that you have the power by your next decision to start to cause changes to those. So one of the things that I do these days is, you know, when you have downtime, I watch TV, I watch Netflix, I watch everything in sight. And persons will say to you, you spend too much time watching TV. My favorite pastime is watching cartoons. I like to watch the cartoons and the possibility of running from a building and going 20 feet out in the air, unsupported, and stay there until you look down. That always holds such a huge, there's a big message in that. It's kind of the message that came across from the Bible story where Peter stepped out of the boat and started to walk towards Jesus, and then he sank. And the reason he sank was, as the Bible put it, I don't pretend to be a Bible scholar, but as I remember it, is that he took his eyes off. He started to doubt himself. Have you ever seen Tom chasing Jerry, and Tom ran past Jerry off the top of the building and 20 feet out in mid-air? And he's just there, meandering. Well, not meandering, because in the world of cartoon, he's right there, fixed. And then for some strange reason, Tom looks down. And as he looks down, whoosh, there he goes. The message in that for me, the message I always take from that is, even when the thing rough, even when the thing thin, even when you out on a limb and out in the air, just keep your eyes focused on that price. Just keep your eyes, don't look down. Just keep going. Because as long as you do that, just like in the cartoon world, there is going to be some progress. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Essentials.
Good day. How you doing, Mr. Edwards?
I am doing fantastic. And you?
Ah, very timely topic to end the air.
Yeah.
To end the air, Mr. Edwards, and you're talking about people have the ability to create the circumstances that they want to have. Like, if you can't see it, you could create it.
Mm-hmm.
As humans, we are the only beings that that Jehovah God created that could create, because we are his children. A dog could only be a dog. A cat could only be a cat. The created force of man, within his subconscious mind, bringing the subconscious mind, things coming from out of the air into reality, is one of our greatest gifts that humanity has.
Yeah, but how does that happen? Because you say something which is important. I'm not disagreeing with you. I have a slightly different view. Because there is a school.
Let me finish.
Go ahead. There's a school of thought out there which revolves around the word manifestation, and which I think is important. The way it is explained carries a flaw. Exactly how this out of the year happens for you.
Well, the thing about it is that a lot of times, a lot of people don't know how to use their sixth sense,
mm-hmm.
and affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You affirmate yourself and you believe that it is possible to create what you want to create.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it from out of the spirit world into the physical and manifest it into being, into the physical world.
How does it come into the physical world?
It comes into the physical world by creating a thought, mm-hmm. creating faith,
mm-hmm.
creating affirmation to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Keep speaking it into being until it comes to reality.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't have, they even though they have the ability to do it, they never retrain their mind in order to let every man up to really affirm it and to really bring it out. A lot of the time, it comes with your level of spirituality over the years and becoming mature enough in your spirituality and mature enough into your psyche to really have the ability to manifest these thoughts. Al Kennedy once said, when they asked Kennedy, who was one of the richest men in the turn of the 1900s, he was asked, what is man's most serious problem that they have, mankind? He said, most men do not think. And that is what he ended with. And he said, that is their greatest problem. And the thing about it is that when you think, and the thought comes to your mind, the ability comes to your mind, and the thought would never come to your mind if the father didn't believe that you could do it. But you have to believe it within yourself.
Definitely. I think you make some powerful point, even though I have a different, a slightly different take on that. The caller went away. I didn't want him to go away. I was about to offer him one of my books. If you call back, I will definitely, we need to get your contacts and get your information, get your name so I can sign this for you. But yes, you're talking about the power of thinking and the power of the mind and moving stuff from, it's metaphysical type of a discussion, metaphysics. Sometimes you get into these things and persons believe that you're in your affair, maybe voodoo. Witchcraft. The truth is, I think as human beings, we have the power, we have the ability to think into being that which doesn't currently exist. I think we have that power. The difference for me, though, is not to say I am going to think about it until it's manifested. After the thought, there needs to be action, and it is that action which creates the physical representation of what the original thought was. Where is the same caller, or we have a new caller? Same caller? You're back, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm calling back.
Yeah. What's your name?
My name is Michael Francis.
Michael Francis. So, Michael Francis, I am going to give you one of my books. The book is Think, Act, Grow, and obviously you're into the thinking realm. So all you need to do is to turn up here.
What is the name of the book?
The book is Think, Act, Grow, Thoughts and Reflection for Self-Leadership.
Oh, that's a powerful book
title.
Think and Grow Riches is arguably one of the greatest self-help books in history.
Yes, that is my foundation book. As a matter of fact, this title is styled from that.
That's why I hit it.
And so right. We want to say the name again. Michael what?
Michael Francis.
Michael Francis. So Michael Francis, if you turn up at the Guardian Radio, they will have a book for you with your name in it. Says Michael Francis. With my signature and contributing, calling into the show. Your voice is familiar. And so we look forward to hearing you again in 2022 and wish you a very Merry Christmas. And, keep thinking, keep manifesting. But make sure that everything that you think about that you wish to manifest, you're willing to go out and work, put the action in order for it to become a reality.
Yeah, I thank you, Renee. They have some very powerful words, and I received that. Yeah, I received them words to end the new year, because the new year is a bright year, and it actually gives you, it's like a second leaf on life and a second chance, every brand new one, to turn over a new leaf.
Definitely, sir. So thank you again for calling and the book.
And thank you for the book, Mr. Edwards. I'll be calling in. I'll give it a good read, and I'll call in so we could comment on it. And
yeah.
The old people always used to say, iron sharpens iron, eh?
Yes, so when you come, make sure you bring your ID because your name is already, you have to prove that you're Michael Francis.
Okay, sir, no problem.
All right, take care. So it's certainly a pleasure. So the power of thinking, the power of thought. You know, if we are wrong, if we are wrong, as we will get into a break, the producer would have found our song. If we are wrong, then this discussion that has been happening in many time in the medical arena, where you have the placebo effect, where one individual would be given the medicine and the other individual would be given a sugar tablet. So it's a real tablet and the other one is a sugar tablet. He doesn't know that it's a sugar tablet, but he believes they have told him exactly what the sugar pill can do and will do for him. And they have studied these things over many, many years. The individual who took the real tablet and the individual who took the fake one sometimes and oftentimes display the same level of recovery. A lot of things start in the mind. And just as the placebo effect is real or has been accepted to be there, the nocebo is also there. And that is when we think to the negative. Given the situation where you talk about, hydrochondriac, an individual who thinks about being sick and end up being sick, with that same sickness that they focus on. So the mind is very powerful. The mind has the ability to do many, many great things. And so, you know, we have to really think how we employ that. We're going to take a quick break here. And if you still want to join us, I have three more books to go. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. You listen to The Essentials. Don't move. Come right back.
You know it's so essential. Essential. So serious.
You can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card. If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South, call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You got to access to eat the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith. Or pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man has said we better access to eat the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread joy.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between, and you have to spread the joy. So the caller took us there. power of the mind. I was talking about watching television and videos and movies. Recently, I watched Nanny McPhee. I always like these kind of kids show. But I watch movies or things these days for different reasons, not just for necessarily the entertainment, because I have found that buried in them, if you look, and I usually always find what you're looking for in anything, even in the best of things, you can find something negative if you're looking for the negative. But there are some stories, there are powerful, powerful stories and lessons embedded in these movies, in these shows, in these cartoons, if that's what you're looking for. If you watch Tom and Jerry and you're looking for violence, then obviously you will just see Tom or Jerry beating Tom, Tom beating Jerry. But if you're looking for something else, you know, you can find instances of relationships. You can find instances where they stop and they support each other. You can find instances where every single one of them, including the big dog, is threatened, and they all come together because they have to face the external threat. So the lessons are there for your taking, if you want them. But in this Nanny McPhee, there were five main stories, five main lessons, which the kids had to learn. So Nanny McPhee was this witch-looking woman with a big mole on her face. She looked kind of hideous. And she came to take care of these kids who were very bad. They had a father. He obviously was a widower. And they would put all of their nannies to live in hell. And eventually everybody quit. Nanny McPhee turned up. And her man, when you don't need me, or something to that effect, when you don't need me, I'll be there. When you don't need me anymore, I will go. When you need me, I will be there. But something to that effect. But she had five things which she set out to achieve with these kids. And they were terrible kids. And the first one is to stop fighting. That was her first objective, to get these kids to stop fighting. The second one was to share nicely. So first, stop fighting. Then secondly, to share nicely. The third one is to help each other. And so whatsoever it is that they were doing, you know, they would find a way to come together cooperatively and help each other. And I think it was a scene which plays out when they were trying to catch some pigs, and they were, you know, very inventive and very creative in trying to do that. But the fact of the matter is they were working together. The fourth one is to be brave. And this worked out in the scene where they had to defuse a bomb. And they work again together to make it happen, even though there was a crow in that which played a very, very significant part. And then the fifth one is to have faith. Their father, the father of these kids, had gone to war. And it was as if everyone thought that he was dead. And everyone gave up on him, except for the kids. They kept believing that he would come back. One of the kids went into the city, went to the uncle of the cousin who was high up in the war office, because they believed that their father would come back. These five lessons, though, I believe hold great import for us. As a people, as a grouping, any grouping, whether it's at a social level, at a corporate level, or as a country, these five lessons, I think, are important. We must understand that if we are going to be successful, if we are going to march into 2022 and become the masters of our own destiny, we have to stop fighting. Objective number one, we have to stop fighting. And you may ask, well, Edwards, who exactly is fighting? I don't see anybody. Well, you know, it's not always physical. The truth is, in many instances, we find ways to pull apart rather than come together. Our responses are not always supportive. They become sometimes divisive. So we have to stop the fighting. And then we must share nicely. We must realize that we have. Many of us have, many don't. And it is our obligation to share. To figure out how we can help the next man. To figure out how we can give somebody a hand up. To figure out how resources can stretch and go to those who need it most. We have to figure a way of sharing nicely. At the national level, the patrimony of the country is to be shared by the individuals that make up the populace. It is for them, for their advancement. The question is, how do we find a way such that all of the same persons are not the same ones who are getting over and over and repeatedly while others go without? We must help each other. As a country, if you're in a company, if you're in a family, if you're in a grouping, whatsoever it is, you won't be successful, or you definitely won't be as successful as you possibly could without helping each other. And you have to be brave. I know the Prime Minister of the Bahamas is referred to as Brave Davis. So when I speak of it from a national perspective, then we must, as a country, take on the name of the Prime Minister. But this is a lesson from Nanny McPhee. We have to be brave as individuals in our own individual circumstances if we're going to grow. Believe me, I have experienced this. I recently did gave a presentation at our Success Summit. And the title of the presentation was Stick Your Neck Out. And it used the turtle as an analogy to make the case that nothing happens, no progress takes place unless you stick your neck out. Because the turtle, inevitably, in order to move, must put its neck out. And what is so important about that analogy, or maybe what is so fundamental about that analogy, is the head of the turtle is really the most vulnerable part of it, just like your head would be your most the most vulnerable part of your body. For the most part, most of your appendages can be separated. The head is one appendage, if you want to refer to it as that, that if you remove it, you certainly will not survive. So the idea of sticking your neck out, taking a risk, be brave, be bold, I think is good advice at any level at all. National level, corporate level, community level, in the church, in the schools, in your personal life, in your family, in your investment clubs, whatsoever it is that you're doing, my experience has shown me that progress comes when you're willing to stick your neck out. Because as long as you stay in, like the turtle does in the shell, usually when there is danger, usually when the turtle feels threatened, pulls itself in, pulls itself back into the shell, and no movement takes place. But in there is going to be no growth. It is Maslow who has this quote which says, you can either move forward into growth or backward into safety. Forward into growth, backward into safety. Stick your neck out, take risks, or stay safe and have no movement at all, no progress, no momentum. Nothing good will happen. And then, yes, we must have faith. And here is where I think the faith is not just at a religious level. That is important. At a spiritual level, that is important. But at the collective level, we must have faith that the things that we desire out of life, the things that we desire for the country, the things that we desire for the community, for our organization, for ourselves, we must have faith that these things will eventually materialize. They will be manifested because we're working on them. But I've often mentioned the soldier who advised that, look, the most important thing in life, the most important thing is that we must face up. We must face up to the issues that confront us. Do not lose faith that eventually we will overcome them. But our task, our job is to face up squarely with the issues which confront us. If you're struggling, if you lost your job, bad relationships, you don't do the money thing well, you're not good at saving for a rainy day, you're not good at preparing yourself for tomorrow, paying attention to your educational endeavors, whatsoever is your area of deficiency, and we all have them, every single one of us. No matter how nice looking or sprightly you see the individual, no matter how rich you may think that individual is, there is a challenge someplace there. And whatsoever it is, we must have faith that we have the ability and the capacity to overcome that. Because if you don't, then obviously you'll be totally lost. Now the question is, to what extent will you succeed? To what extent will you overcome that? That is always going to be up for discussion. But what is not up for discussion is that if you have absolutely no belief and no faith in that happening, then obviously you're going to be totally defeated. As Marcus Garvey said, if you have no faith in self, then you're twice defeated in the race of life, even before you have started. So Nanny McPhee's five lessons or five objectives for these children, I think all some important lessons. Share nicely. Let's help each other. Let's be brave. And let's have faith. One of the things which is so important or noticeable about that movie is Nanny McPhee appears as this hideous individual, as I mentioned before. Look almost witch-like. But at each stage where the young wards, the young people that she was overseeing, each stage that they improve, when they stop fighting, she started to look a little bit better. And as they started to share, then you notice that the wart goes away. And her clothes start to fit her a little bit better, and she started to look a little bit more shapely. And then eventually when they get to that level where they're now displaying great bravery and faith, Nanny McPhee, who was a hideous, witch-like looking individual or character, now is a very attractive young woman. That too holds a lesson, you know. It's an analogy that we can apply to life, to our circumstances, that the more we do these things, the more we operate within the realm of working together, not fighting, sharing, not being selfish, helping each other, not pulling each other down, being bold, being brave, rather than being scary and, you know, running away and hiding, and having faith. The more we do that, the more likely for our circumstance to improve. And so there is more being injected into our daily circumstances. Just as Nanny McPhee, as a character in this movie, starts to look more attractive, so too is our circumstances. Why? Because we are confronting the negatives, seeking to eliminate them. We are accentuating the positives. We're not messing with any in-between stuff. All of a sudden, the world, our circumstances, our reality takes on the improved Nanny McPhee-esque type of a state. And we can now start to think about more positive, because it's not hideous. You know, you can actually look at her because she looks better. You can now face up to your world, your circumstances, your surroundings a little bit easier because things are looking up. So I want to encourage individuals here as we get into the Christmas holidays, which is 2 days away. As we get there, take some time to reflect. Take some time to think about what is going to happen in 2022. We're now faced with this variant, which seemed to be coming back at us, maybe with some level of vengeance, some vigor. We hope it doesn't turn out to be 2020 and 2021 all over again. But we have to be prepared. We have to confront that reality. And we must be ready. But we must understand that at the end of the day, we are all in this together. And to the extent that we are willing to work together, to the extent that we are willing to not fight but pull together, to share nights, to become our brother's keeper, to the extent that we're willing to believe in our own personal capacity and in our collective capacity to get things done, to make things better, to create a better tomorrow, to the extent that we're able to do that, I think life gets better. Some persons do not accord with the Christian religion. Most of us on this side of the world do believe in Jesus the Christ. And for the most part, we'll be celebrating at Christmas the birth of Christ. And that story, that happening, if nothing else, was an indication of a future, better possibility. The idea of salvation, the idea of an entity coming into the world to save the world, demands a belief that tomorrow can be better. Because something which happens today changes what was up to changing what was yesterday so that tomorrow can be different. And that can be realized in your life, in my life, in each of us. We can get to that place where we understand and hold on to the possibilities, the opportunities. Seek to eliminate the negatives. Seek to walk into the light, walk out of the darkness. Seek to not suffer because things are not going the way we would like them to be. Because you don't have a lot of money this Christmas to buy the ham and the turkey, you decide, well, you know, Christmas is going to be sour for me. No. Whatsoever it is that you can afford, you can enjoy your Christmas. Whatsoever your circumstances is, even if you are alone and you absolutely cannot find anybody to be with, just walk out on the street and look out. Say hello to everybody who pass. Some may not respond to you, but a smile. You may even have the pleasure of having a short, nice type of conversation. The only point I'm making here is that your circumstances are your circumstances, but what you do with them next is certainly up to you. And you have this ability. You have the power. You have the power of thought, the power of thinking to change that reality, or to at least start to act on it such that the circumstances, the outcome may be different than the one that you're currently experiencing. So here on The Essentials, we always try to keep it real when we discuss issues, whether they're national issues, whether they're development issues. We talk about leadership. We try to keep it honest. These things are not easy. They're not easily achieved. But if you work at it, and you keep at it, and you remain consistent and committed, eventually it will happen. It will happen. I want to wish for everyone a very Merry Christmas. And as we move into the new year, I want you to take some time to reflect. For me, my exercise will start with Kwanzaa. I reflect on Kwanzaa each year, and each day there is a mantra. There is, I'm not sure what to call it at this point, but there is a word that you reflect on, many of them. So there's faith, there is And they have, you know, funny words. I can't remember them off the top of my head right now. But it calls for you to take each day to reflect on what you're going to do in the new year. And the reflection starts in the old year and ends in the new year. Take some time. Take some time and think about how you're going to make 2022 better. If 2020 and 2021 was great for you, then certainly, how are you going to make it better? If it wasn't so good, if it was terrible, how are you going to make it better? If it was so-so, how are you going to make it better? And as we walk into that, we must believe that we have the capacity to do so. But absolutely, we can't do it alone. And this is where the thing which I always talk about, and I really believe and I hold true to this, Ubuntu. I am because we are. Where we get to the place where we start to understand fundamentally that your well-being is dependent on the way I behave. The well-being of the collective is dependent on me as an individual becoming my best. And the collective recognizing that as a collective, if the collective is to be at its absolute best, then I as an individual must be at my best and therefore must facilitate that. It's so, so important that we start to understand that we are not here by ourselves, for ourselves. But we are here to make life better for all of us, for every single individual around us. I recently came across a photograph. I don't know if it was Photoshop, but it was a mango tree. And the mango tree was cut down and there was one small sprout. And from that one small sprout, there was a mango being bearing, a nice, juicy-looking mango. And so I took some time, I reflected on it, and I wrote this. There are times in our lives when, like a tree, we may be cut down to just a stump. All visible evidence that outwardly defines us, gone, and leaving only the essence of us. But there is still the possibility. Like a mango tree cut to a stump, your fruits may not be many, but you have the ability to do at least one thing and do that thing well enough to create value. The choices are easy. Remain a stump and eventually wither away, rot, and die. Or use the stump you are to create new growth, a different kind of growth, a matured, intentional, and deliberate growth. The latter points are important. Despite the lack of clear physical evidence, the stump is still a tree. And until it dies, it retains the potential to be just that. Challenges and obstacles in life may render us differently able, but we must never, ever give up. Never stop trying. Never refuse to find ways to grow. Lament moments of distress, accept it, feel it, then let it go, and get to work being the best version of you. I know this to be so. I believe that great things are possible. We always say here, never allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. Merry Christmas, and if we don't see again, if we don't hear again, Happy New Year and all the best. You've been listening to The Essentials. Good night.